We are all patients or future patients. That's the statement made by Chris Coburn, Executive Director of Cleveland Clinic Innovations. And he is so right. We have an aging population that wants to live longer and demands more quality of life. Medical innovation is the key to all that. But the innovations presented at the annual Cleveland Clinic Medical Innovation Summit have as much, if not more, to do with economics than medicine. While we will hear from Chris about some of the fascinating new medical innovations on the horizon, the immediate takeaway for most of us will be his frank opinions on the economy. As he says, the new economy is alive and well in the 40 or so blocks around the Cleveland Clinic. It's competitive with any region in the world. Listen where we stand outside those 40 blocks.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
Today we're speaking with Chris Coburn, the director of Cleveland Clinic Innovations. And Chris, you recently finished another successful annual Medical Innovation Summit. And this year's topic, well, maybe it wasn't as mainstream as the topic last year, the heart, or next year's, which we'll get into in a minute. But in fact, a lot of us, you know, we didn't really associate Cleveland Clinic that much with the Glickman Institute in this particular area. Tell us a little about it.
Obviously, urology, and also we partnered it with gynecology, is in our key areas in terms of the portfolio of clinical capabilities here at the Cleveland Clinic. And the urology department here has been rated in the top two or three for years and years in the nation. So to me, I thought it was an exciting 2.5 days. A lot of new technology and economics related to this field were examined.
You know, it was interesting. It's for a layperson, it's really it's always a interesting experience to watch some of those live surgeries and hear, you know, the intensity that some of these world-class experts are carrying on their work with. You know, one of the highlights of the summit is always the top 10 innovations. And Dr. Roizen led that panel today. Were there any that really stood out for you this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, one I personally liked that I had a chance to actually see go to the company is this, we called it the warm organ perfusion device. And this is a basically a cabinet-sized, like a small refrigerator-sized device that allows a beating heart, so keeps the heart acting as if it were still in the body for up to 12 hours. So this will has the potential to dramatically change how organ donations are handled here in the U.S. And, you know, when you're talking about transplanting, there's a huge amount, a huge percentage, depending on the organ, 30% or more, that winds up being not viable. And one of the reasons is because of the damage that occurs to the organ in transportation. So this will greatly increase the, should, if the technology works out, increase the overall size of the pool, because it will make more organs candidates for transplant. And then once they're transplanted, they're going to perform better. So I think it's a pretty neat technology.
Yeah, that one really excited me, too. At one of your lunches, I was sitting with one of the fellows from the company who was working on that, and he was getting into some gruesome details, which were great with my lunch. But it did sound exciting that, you know, keeping it in some of the original blood and just the way they package and transport it would really increase the amount of candidates and number of successful transplants so dramatically.
Yeah, and you know, to me, that technology is interesting, and I think it's also representative of the other nine. From the standpoint, it's not just the technology, but it's how the technology changes accepted practice. So, you know, the technology itself will not create more organs. You know, right now, in terms of hearts, I think nationally, increase the yield, and then it will help to more efficiently deploy those organs, which is another part of increasing utilization. So the technology is a very compelling combination of breakthrough high-tech design with something that will reshape a long-established system.
Right. You know, and besides, this is obviously Medical Innovation Summit, but you couldn't escape the economy, and it's all tied in. And a lot of your speakers, Tommy Thompson and Senator Wyden of Oregon and CEOs of Boston Scientific, and many of the speakers were talking about the economy and what we're going to face this year. And it seems that healthcare is the growth industry in the U.S. You know, we have an aging population. We're all eager to live longer and stay healthier and more active. It seems like it's almost a recession-proof industry. What was the general feeling about the economy? And
I think from our standpoint, first of all, when you talk about healthcare and the economy, we were all patients or future patients, so we're always thinking, all of us in the U.S., thinking about how a medical technology is going to help us or help someone we are related to or know. But the other way we have to think about that, and it gets to the point you just raised, is the role of healthcare innovation in the overall economy. And I think one of the things we're trying to bring out in that top 10 was the physicians at the Cleveland Clinic to provide the world-class level of care that they do means that they have to be arbiters of innovation on a daily basis. So that's what that top 10 process reflects, is that these people have to be on top of every new technology in their field and then decide which one is most important. So if you look at that from an economic standpoint, you say, okay, well, how's the new growth going to occur in the U.S. economy? How are we going to recover from this economic nadir we're in right now? And a lot of the economists are saying it's going to be innovation. And so I think the neat thing about our role here at the clinic and the Innovation Summit is, we're saying, apart from or on top of the benefit to patients, we're also going to be a key element, this technology, of the economic renewal of the country.
Yeah, that's very true. And in particular, as we drill down to the Cleveland area, Ohio and Cleveland in particular, as someone who travels down Chester in my daily commute, seeing the Miller Family Pavilion and the Glickman Tower and, literally changing the face of Cleveland with the expansion, how is Ohio and Cleveland in particular doing in the whole bioscience medical economy?
You and I have been around on this scene for many years. I would say, in our community, we seem to oscillate between being excited about our economic prospects to being depressed about them. And obviously, recently it seems more of the latter. But one thing struck me when I started working at the Cleveland Clinic a decade ago is, the new economy is alive and well in the 40 or so blocks that are represented by the Cleveland Clinic. So when you talk about the Cleveland economy, if you were to bound it by our institution, it would be competitive with any region in the world. How are we doing as a city? I think we, first of all, the bedrock is present. We have exceptional, almost unrivaled healthcare and healthcare research capabilities here. The growth of the commercial market, emerging from that, is progressing, and in some cases quite nicely. But I would say we're still climbing a hill here. And what we need is to reach, another plateau where things start to happen more on their
how are we doing in supplying the necessary talented workers for the medical bioscience? And you know, are you finding what you need in the region, or is it difficult?
That's still a big challenge. I think we all know it, and you can certainly find it in any text on innovation and its application. The most important thing in an entrepreneurial model based on innovation is management. And I think while we have an abundance of interesting technology in town, we do not have an equivalent number of experienced leaders to help run companies to capitalize on that. And, you know, some of these, some folks have been found in other towns and they're commuting to Cleveland. I think the word is getting out a little bit more. So, again, progress is being made, but you'll define success when you try to recruit someone to Cleveland and the geography itself doesn't really enter the equation because they're viewing Cleveland as being an equivalent area, a region, to other regions in the country, and they don't have to worry about, okay, well, if I move to Cleveland and this doesn't work out, what's my next job?
You know, what, from a Cleveland Clinic Innovations perspective, what are your thoughts on the importance of and any preference on the location of the proposed medical mart?
Well, I don't have a position, and I don't think the clinic has a position on the exact location. I would say our shop's getting more involved with the medical mart because there's a lot of resources in the medical centers that could be tapped to help the medical mart achieve its goal and really its requirements related to bringing through these mid-sized device-related shows. So I think one of the things we're going to try to do is make sure Cleveland Clinic leaders, particularly folks who are big in their national societies, are deployed in a way that they can help the medical mart be successful. So that's something we're working on. But in terms of the exact location, you know, I'm sure, like every other Clevelander, I can make an argument for one side or the other, but we do not have a position on that.
Okay. You know, finally, I want to get into a little about technology and IT and health. We see the robotic surgeries and the devices, they keep getting more impressive and better for the patients. And that's kind of the hard technology. But also, I think it was Lissa's number 10 in the top 10. It was more about the e-sharing of information. I know the clinic has some internet-based services, you know, MyChart, MyConsult, Dr. Connect, all that. Tell us a little about that number 10 and about the using the internet for sharing and securing medical records.
So healthcare IT, the improvement of clinical delivery and the better management of the overall system of healthcare has been a promise for, you know, through IT has been a promise for 15 or 20 years. It does appear like it has reached a crescendo or is getting very close to it. So in terms of that top 10, also in terms of the panel we had at the Innovation Summit, you look at what's occurring, you've got electronic medical record becoming more ubiquitous. And the important thing there is, as in anything in IT, as it becomes broader spread, it puts pressure on the non-users to then get plugged in. So that is occurring right now in healthcare, and it's not quite there. But in terms of our system at the Cleveland Clinic, it is, in terms of electronic medical record, it is present in almost every aspect of the institution. And that means that other entities looking to work with us are going to have, you know, the requisite interoperability. So I think it's an exciting time. I think you know, when we have these proposals coming out of the Obama administration, a lot of things will be built on healthcare IT innovation enabled by it. And at least in terms of my personal view, I think for once, the promise of that is now finally within reach.
It seems like the main concern, obviously, we have the technology to store, access, share medical records, and in-house, you know, the clinic can easily secure the records and guarantee privacy. But it's once you get out into other systems, and you know, whether you're using a Google appliance or interacting with other hospitals and all, that you really get into these privacy concerns. Is that the big challenge?
Yeah, without you and I wading into a very detailed talk about, you know, various technologies on securing data.
Oh, you know, I'd love that talk.
Hopefully provide a note of reassurance to your listeners and readers. You know, working in a hospital, you cannot overstate the impact of HIPAA. The attention to security and the commitment to, you know, ensuring against even an inadvertent or somehow or another a casual disclosure of information is unstinting. So, you know, that as individuals, as organizational units, as an overall institution, this question of patient privacy is right at the top of the priority list, you know, virtually equivalent with patient care. So again, I think this healthcare IT is going to be, or is today, being driven by larger institutions who are then pulling along other entities. So I think the protocols and the mindset are being set by the Cleveland Clinics of the world, and I think that's a good thing as it relates to ensuring the privacy of any individual patient.
You know, at the summit, I got a chance to speak with Dr. Martin Harris a little, the chief information officer of the Cleveland Clinic, and you know, he was very reassuring in this, in the same things that you're saying. All right, listeners, you want to check this web link to read all the top 10 innovations that they've selected at the summit. If you're a layperson like me, you're not going to understand most of them, but there's some basic explanations there that'll give you a feel for what's going on. It is very exciting. So, Chris, you got to give us a tease. What's the topic of next year's summit, and what can we expect?
Next year's cancer and, you know, a huge field with many, many innovations. And again, you know, I think in a overriding point of view, the promise of exploiting the human genome is finally being realized. We're going to have a big emphasis on that, both in terms of diagnosis of disease, but also development of new therapies. We have secured some exceptional speakers, including the CEO of IBM, Sam Palmisano, and we'll be announcing some other international figures soon. So it's going to be a great outing, and we hope folks will attend, both because it's area of innovation that offers great economic opportunity, but obviously, given the large patient population, you know, virtually every one of us has a stake in new therapies and new ways to diagnose and manage cancers.
And let me just add as a follow-up there, as you said, we're all either patients, future patients, know a patient, and obviously cancer is something that's touched many of our lives. But this the annual Medical Innovation Summit isn't just a medical, you know, a bunch of doctors showing new techniques and all. I was impressed at the number of economic people, the venture capitalists, of course, the device people. And all. It's a pretty broad spectrum of people. It's not just medical.
Yeah, and really, that's our demographic. We're talking about individuals who are making decisions on funding innovations. So whether they're investors, venture capitalists, or senior executives in companies, big or small, that's the people we're trying to we're trying to reach, or people that might be investing in the, you know, in public markets. While we get our share of physicians and scientists there, that is not the target. The target are folks who want to learn about innovation versus, let's say, folks who might be inventors themselves.
Good. Now, Chris, I just want to remind you, well, I haven't told you yet, but I expect in return for doing this podcast that my odds will improve for the raffle for the trip to Ireland next year, if that goes on again, right?
No, we will have to make sure that you get better identified for our French Enterprise Ireland.
Okay. All right. Today we've been speaking with Chris Coburn, the Executive Director of Cleveland Clinic Innovations. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Dan. See you.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.